This is Vicky Gwynn with Legacy Health's marketing and communications team. Welcome to Legacy Health's podcast, Engaging Our People. There are over 14,000 of you who make this an exceptional place to work. We intend to introduce you to some of your peers through stories about themselves and their jobs. Some podcasts may cast a serious tone and others may make you laugh. Please listen to learn, get inspired, be curious, and get to know the people who share a common goal. To be proud to be a part of a workforce that creates the best healthcare experience possible for our patients. Today's episode focuses on our longtime employees. You've heard of the Great Resignation, which has legions of workers looking for the door since the pandemic. It had many people rethinking their lives and priorities. I don't know if it happened at Legacy Health, but according to the 2019 Census Bureau, there are 22 million workers in the healthcare industry. We are one of the largest and fastest growing sectors in the United States, accounting for 14% of all U.S. workers. The average length of employment is about 5 years. At Legacy Health, it's almost 8 years. The longest tenured group here at Legacy are the ones with 10 plus years. They comprise 32% of our workforce. So today, I am honored to be with my two guests. You do the math. They are way past the average and combined have, let's see, did I do this right? 80 years of service. Yes, you heard that, 80 years of service. When Curtis Ryan, a nurse at the Legacy Oregon Burn Center, started working here right after Mount St. Helens blew in 1980, and Karina Gray with our nutrition services at Meridian Park, when she started working, you could go see Prince in his rock film Purple Rain for $2.50. I don't think you can get a bottle of water for $2.50. So I asked them to join me, and I'm so excited, and I thank them so much. And I just had to get Curtis because he told us, after almost 43 years, he's going to retire. I think you deserve it.
Thank you.
So we're going to just have some fun, have a conversation. I'm going to throw some questions at you. Relax. You're just talking to your best friends.
I am.
And Melissa's here in the room with us. So Curtis, tell me about you. Whatever you want to share.
It was a dark and stormy night.
Yes,
64 years ago.
That's a wide open question.
Well, I'm a native Oregonian. I grew up in Madras, Oregon, on a farm about 2.5 miles from Warm Springs. So that's my background, Central Oregon, farm kid. Came to Portland to go to college. Was going to be a music teacher. And worked at Emanuel to work my way through music school. And my second year at Emanuel in 1981, I went into the burn unit to help out and decided that was probably what I was going to end up doing, was trying to get back into the burn center and work there full-time as a nurse was my plan. And the way I got into Emanuel, my girlfriend at the time, her dad worked in biomed, and she said, you know, you should start looking at things other than nursing homes. Why don't you go check out Emanuel? And I went over, and that's when Human Resources was down where billing is now at Emanuel. And they said, well, we don't have a job for nurses' aides, but go talk to Mrs. Nelson up in nursing service. Maybe she has something we don't know about. And I went up and talked to her, and she said, well, would you be willing to work as an orderly too? And I said, sure. She goes, okay, you're hired. And that's how I started at Emanuel Hospital. That was my interview.
Okay. Orderly, you got to tell us what an orderly is. That's something you don't hear.
Well, they're now considered transportation. Mm-hmm. Patient transportation is who the orderlies are now.
Okay.
But when I started, there were orderlies for x-ray, surgery, nursing service. Every department had an orderly. So at that time, what we did was we did all the patient lifts. We did morgue runs. We did casting in the ER. We did the male catheters on the floors. Anything that they needed help with, they would call us. We had specific floors that we worked on, and they would call us for help. The nursing staff would. Okay. So we were kind of a jack-of-all-trades, go-to person, nurse's aide, to go out and help on the units.
Okay.
So that's what the orderlies did. When they went to patient transportation, they kept two orderlies in nursing service, and since I had seniority then, That's why I stayed in nursing service until when I left, that was the end of the orderlies at Emanuel. They all went to patient transportation after that.
Okay.
So
a few name changes over the years.
Just a few name changes. Yeah.
And then shortly after you, Karina, when did you come to Legacy Meridian Park? And you've been here the whole time here.
I came in March of 1984. I started out in, I put an application in housekeeping and the kitchen. And the housekeeper manager had called me and I had an interview. And the kitchen manager said she didn't have anything available. So I really wanted to go to the kitchen though. So I, on Mondays, I would call her. And then on Friday, I would show up and see if there's anything that changed. And I did that for 2 weeks. And by the third week on Monday, she said, "You're hired, just to get you out of my hair." And I just started in the dish room and been here since then.
And so what has kept you here all these years?
The people.
Say more about the people.
When I started working here, we were a family. We became a family, and we help each other, and we do for each other. And if we hear anybody in the hospital who needs help, we gather together and try to find out what it is that they need help with, and we do it.
So, Karina, you told me you were a teenager.
I was 17.
And to have a teenager come on board and stick with something,
right.
So it was more than a summer job to you. You were looking long-term.
Yeah. Okay. Well, 3 months after I started working here, I found out I was pregnant. And so I stayed for the health care, and I couldn't think of any other place that I would want to go and feel loved and cared about.
So, Karina, tell me, I remember when, because I have an elderly father. When I get to talking to him, I remember when gas was 10 cent a gallon, and then you got to, you know, he's starting into an interesting story. Tell me, and I remember when, about Meridian Park and your experience here.
I remember when I started working, I made $3.65 an hour. You could look out the patient room windows and see cows out in the pasture.
Really?
Yeah.
And so what was this like? I mean,
this was all farmland, and there was cows out there. So the patients, we would open up the curtains and the patients would be able to see the cows. And
oh, how funny.
Yeah, we were called the country hospital.
I remember when Sister Betty used to haunt Emanuel East. She was the head of the nursing school at Emanuel for years.
You mean her ghost?
Yeah, she was mostly active while they were building the Courtyard Cafe. It was the last time anybody really... There were some housekeepers that wouldn't go to the third floor at Emanuel East because they would hear doors opening and see lights turn on and off. And
what was she like when she was alive?
She was a sister, so you take it from there.
You both been here for quite a long time. Have you had any major challenges? Have you had to overcome any challenges? There's been a lot of changes over the decades you were here, even in our country, in our community, in healthcare. What, Karina, what's your challenge now? Or you're not that little 17-year-old anymore. Or maybe you are.
I mean, I'm the stock clerk now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So my challenge every day is to go out and either take stock orders or pick up the stock orders that are coming in and try to make sure that I get them all done so that I don't have anything else to look at tomorrow other than tomorrow's stock.
So what food has changed? What food do we say, no, we can't serve that anymore? We just
Oreo cookies.
It's gone?
Uh-huh.
Why?
What's healthy about an Oreo cookie?
It doesn't count. It is healthy. Do you still serve Tang?
No.
Oh, good. And Curtis, challenges over the years, what's...
Lots of challenges, you know, because of transition from three different types of organizations. And
that's right.
You know, the ups and downs with nursing, where it's cyclical, and trying to help the younger nurses understand that I've been there, done that. Just tough it out and tighten your belt. It'll get better. Just ride the wave and you'll be okay. My challenge now is over the next 357 days, but nobody's counting, before I retire next January, is getting ready to orient slowly over about starting in April, my replacement, who we've already named. And I'll be helping her learn how to do the outreach portion. That's what I do now for the last 14 years. I've been outreach after doing 21 years at the bedside at the night shift in the burn unit. Getting her up to speed and training her on how to do outreach and introducing her to all the different folks that I know in the industries that we teach to, and at the national level, the American Burn Association, and getting people up to speed on what it is I do. It's probably going to take about a year. It took me a year when I took over this position to learn how to do it. So we're planning on it being a slow transition between now and next January, training the new person to do it. So
that was really smart. When you told me that you were able to bring in someone and spend several months training that person to get them up to speed.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And then I'm contemplating going supplemental for a year just to help out, just in case they need it.
You can't get away from us.
Yeah, you know, I can't get away from you. So I might do that just to kind of be in the background if they need somebody to come in and help out. That would be on an as-need basis. Mm-hmm. So, and then after that year, then my nursing license will expire. And I plan on just spending time traveling around and being with my granddaughter and trying to find the world's biggest ball of twine on Route 66.
You're going to do more than that.
Huh? Yeah, probably.
So I'm going to ask both of you, since you've been here so long, so many years, and you've seen a lot of changes, and one of the things that we have at Legacy are values in action, and treat all people with respect and compassion. I want you to comment on that. I'm putting you on the spot and see what you think about what that means. And then service is one. Putting the needs of our patients and our families is making them feel like they're number one or important. What does that mean to you since you've been here? Or what experience or example of that?
In the burn center, we see such a myriad of cultures and everything else that come through. Our houseless population is going up. And I just tell people, you treat every patient that comes through like they're your neighbor that you've known for a million years and you're good friends with them. And you treat them with respect. You know, you don't make judgments on people. Your judgment, you can do at home on your own time. But when you're at work, you have to treat somebody who you have total respect for and somebody who you don't have total respect for, you have to treat them both exactly the same, because they're there needing your help. They need you to help them get through what they're going through. The same with the families. Sometimes when they're upset, you've got to realize they're upset because they're scared. You know, being in the burn unit, it's a scary place. And there's a lot of psychological and physical stuff that the patients go through. And we have people in place to do that with our SOAR volunteers and our aftercare programs. And that's where you also put the needs of the patients and the family first. You have to be there. You have to, I tell new nursing students, you have to be able to sit and cry with your patients and your families. It's real, real important that they understand that you just care just as much about them as they do. And you have to put all your biases at the door. You have to leave those at the door. Mm-hmm. And treat everybody with complete and total respect.
Well said.
The same way you would want to be treated yourself.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
What about you, Karina? And you can, if you don't look at the patients or see patients every day, even with your coworkers, your colleagues.
Well, one of the things that I do is as I'm going in the hallways, because I'm up on all three floors, taking stock orders to wherever they need to go. And I always end up finding people that kind of have this look on their face that they're lost. And so I find out where it is that they're wanting mm-hmm. to go, and I help them get to where they need to get. I know the how hard it is to be in a new place and have whatever going on and then be lost and get frustrated. So I try to make sure that I'm able to help the family members get where they need to go so that they don't feel that way. And I always make sure that in the wintertime, I'm one of the people that spends the night here so that we are here to feed them in the morning if our cooks aren't able to get in.
Are you asked to spend the night? Do you offer to spend the night? You just know you need to be there.
I volunteer it.
Oh my gosh.
I did it last year. I did it this year.
That's definitely service. I've been in healthcare my whole career too on the administrative side. And I go every day, I go in like, what are we going to do today? Mm-hmm. And it's always a challenge. And challenges are good. And pain is good. Yeah. I know I'm kind of weird.
Yeah, there's been a few times when I thought, yeah, you know, it's just going to have to drag myself in there. But I love my job. I've always loved my job. The folks at Emmanuel, and I'll say it because that's where it started, was with Emmanuel, have always treated me well. I've always been felt like I was part of that family.
And what's being treated well on a job? If both of you were, you've been here for a long time, and if we were hiring some new folks, they got a different, that generation's, there's a different generation beneath us. What would you?
I feel respected by my coworkers because in the Burn Center, Dr. Parsley, who started the whole thing with Dr. Beaker and Carolyn Wex, they always had the Burn Center as a team that was built horizontally, not vertically. Everybody has equal say. Everybody's part of a team. And that's always the way I felt working at Emmanuel. Everybody was part of a team. We always had each other's back. So the respect was good. And quite frankly, I gotta say, we get paid pretty well. You know, I've lived a good life because of Emmanuel. I've been able to have things that I needed, not everything I wanted, but things I needed because they took good care of me.
Is that, because I know you do a lot, Curtis. I work with you since I've been here. So is that part of what makes you want to stay with a company that you're able to develop, you're able to grow, you're able to flex? Mm-hmm. Say more about that.
Well, that's part of what makes you feel like a team.
What do you cook?
I've been a grill cook before.
Really?
I've trained on the patient tray line cooking salmon or the scrambled eggs for their breakfast. Or I've trained in different areas. Like I said, I did grill cook for a few years. When I left the dish room, I went as a cashier for 21 years. Then I went to the grill cook for a few years. Then I went back to the kitchen and then I went to the storeroom.
You know every inch of this hospital, I bet.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
You know all where the skeletons are buried?
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. All right. You're not going to write a tale all when you retire.
That's why they treat us well, because we know where all the skeletons are.
You know where all
buried.
The skeletons. You're not going to be on Inside Edition or anything like that telling the secrets of.
Right.
But, you know, the thing about longtime employees, you have such institutional knowledge. You have the history. And like something you said earlier, it's like you have to remind people, we've tried that, done that, but not in a negative way. It's more of experience.
And there's so many opportunities for growth. I mean, you can find something every day that's something new to learn.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's so neat
about it. And I was
going
to ask you about that. How do you both continue to learn?
Well, with me, it's all the different groups I talk to, because I talk to hospitals, firefighters, EMS, electrical, gas employees, nursing schools, everything. But when I'm out in the main industries like electrical and the natural gas companies and stuff, I'm talking to them and watching what they do and learning what they do as a job. Mm-hmm. What are your codes? Why are they in place? Why are they there? What do they do to protect your employees? And I share that information with the apprentices so that they know that I've got a little bit of an idea of what they're doing too to make them feel like I'm...
So you ask questions.
I'll ask a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Just recently I was asking why they were doing certain things on one of the lineman things, and they explained it to me and told me about it. And I read a little bit of the history of the guy that founded their union, and we talk a lot about it. So there's always something I'm learning when I'm out in the field about their community that they're in. I was in Drain, Oregon last night. A lot of people don't even know where Drain is
at. How many people live in Drain?
Maybe, I don't know, 800, 900. I don't know.
And where is Drain, Oregon?
South of Roseburg, and it's on the way to Reedsport.
And where's Reedsport?
It's on the coast. It's between Florence and
Coos Bay. I was only born and raised in Oregon.
So you drive along the Umpqua River. It's up by Elkton.
Oh, it sounds beautiful down there.
It is. It's beautiful. And they had people come from four or five different small communities. So I had like about 25 people at the meeting last night, which was a huge amount for that small of a community, all EMS. And they talked to me about classes they teach, asking if we could help them out with things. And I said, sure. And we had a good conversation afterwards. And I learned a lot about their community. And my wife and I looked it up, and she was reading things about the towns we had gone through and a little bit about their history and whatnot. So we kind of get a feel for where we're at when we're out on the road doing stuff.
And the same thing, how do you learn? It sounds like you have learned everything when it comes to your area. You work in nutrition services, yes.
Well, when I became the stock clerk, I had a paper that I went up and took all the stock orders on paper. Then a few years ago, I was taught how to do it on a computer on a WOW and then push a WOW around. Now we are working with an iPad. I'm a dinosaur when it comes to the computer system. I didn't even know how to turn it on. So they'd say, okay, turn it on. And I'm like, okay, well, where's the button?
I have to tell you, when I first bought my iPad, I was on the plane traveling somewhere, and they said, turn your electronics off. I didn't know how to turn it off. And then I rented an electric car. I didn't know how to turn it off either. So you humbled yourself and you asked somebody who's half your age, can you help me?
I keep looking for a cell phone with a dial on it.
Oh my gosh, the good old days and that sound, right? That dialing phone. So, gosh, you guys are so fun to talk to. What do you do for fun? Now, I know I'm going to tell you a secret. Are there any little kids listening? I hope not, because Curtis is Santa Claus.
Yes, in the winter I do Santa Claus, and I do it to raise money for our kids' camps at the Burn Center.
That is so amazing.
I get to be Santa Claus and light a little kids, because they always ask me where the reindeer are, and I tell them that there's no snow, and I have a special thing with Alaska Airlines, and they fly me down, and the kids look at me and they go, oh, okay, and they totally believe it. So I have fun. My wife does Mrs. Claus. We have fun doing it. And then the people that hire us, we have them write the check to the foundation. So the camps get the money. I have the fun. And the people donating get the tax write-off.
That's amazing.
And then during the rest of the year, if we have time off, we're in our motorhome traveling. And I spend a lot of time with my granddaughter.
Oh, you have one granddaughter?
I have one granddaughter.
Is she spoiled?
She's not spoiled at all.
Okay,
no,
didn't think so.
No, not at all. So,
what is her age?
She's 5.
Oh, she's great age.
Yeah. I was Pop Pop, but she changed my name to Pops. She's starting to change the names around a little bit. But but that's what I do for fun. You know, we travel in the motorhome, and we spend a lot of time with our granddaughter. And then, like you said, the Santa thing that we do for.
And his beard is real.
It is a real beard. I'm almost ZZ Top-ish. And I'm going to continue doing that even after I retire.
You
to
are
raise money for the kids.
That is amazing that you do that for our community, and all the proceeds go back to the place you work, the Burn Center, to help the children's camps.
Yeah, and I always push that in the community, and we always acknowledge our partners in the electrical industry, because they're the ones that raise a lot of money for us. We just last week from IBEW, they gave us a check for $75,000.
Wow.
And just a few months before that, we got a check from them for another $75,000 for all of our programs. They do a lot for us. So I'm always promoting our foundation, because I tell people every penny you donate goes to what you donate it to. You don't have to worry about it going somewhere else. So I'm I really like to promote our foundation and raising money for Legacy, and mostly because of the Burn Center for the kids camps and our aftercare programs.
And Karina. I know you're not retiring soon.
I don't really do anything for fun right now, but over 10 years ago, I used to teach line dancing.
You did?
Cool.
What kind of line dance?
Well, like country.
Country?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I can show you the electric
slide. This is when I need some video. So what was your song? You got a favorite song?
No, not really. I liked Cupid Shuffle. We used to do a line dance to Skinny Dippin'. There's a song called Skinny Dippin'. And
you can tell us more.
But yeah, Boot Scootin'.
Uh-huh.
Watermelon Crawl.
Oh, how fun.
It's a lot of exercise. It's fun.
I've tried to line dance, and I fail at it miserably because anything after a four count, I'm done. And some of those have a lot of counts to them. Yeah, I can do 1, 2, 3, 4. Repeat.
I did the easy ones because we were teaching at the Tualatin Senior Center over here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So you had the seniors up and moving and grooving.
Yep.
Keep them out of the hospital, right?
Yep.
What do you say about a place that has had people here for a long time?
Well, that says it all. I mean, if you talk to a place where people leave before 10 years on a regular basis, you kind of wonder about the company a little bit. But when you're here and you see people that have been here for 10, 20, 30 years or more, that says a lot about an organization when there's longevity. That tells you a lot about it.
And you both have been through corporate changes, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So that still says a lot. You've rolled that out and you've been through HealthLink.
Mm-hmm.
I do remember that. Uh-huh. And then it became Legacy. And before, when they were independent hospitals.
Yep.
Right.
And you stay the course.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Ride the wave.
We have many longtime employees at Legacy Health. Having employees who enjoy their job and share the same mission to serve is a big part of business success for companies like Legacy. What is the call to action today? Well, to recognize these long-tenured staff. Keeping many of them engaged is a challenge. What does Curtis need to know, or what would Karina like to do differently? But it should be a good challenge that we embrace. Long-term employees can bring value. They know where the skeletons are buried. And yes, they have mental file cabinets of institutional knowledge. They have more than proven their commitment to the company. They understand the culture and terrain and can navigate and maneuver within our organization to get things done. They instill morale in newcomers, hope for our patients, or they serve as unofficial recruiters by encouraging people to work at Legacy. At the end of the day, they are ambassadors for the company. If you're hearing this message, you've listened to the full episode to the end, and I thank you. We value you and your feedback. Please take a moment and drop us a message at podcast@lhs.org and tell us about your ideas for stories or how we can better engage our people. This is Vicki Gwynn with the Legacy Health Engaging Our People podcast. To Curtis and Karina, we thank you for your years of service. Be safe and be well.